When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, open our hearts and minds tonight to a message that you want us to hear. Let us hear the old story that becomes new for us, that reminds us again that Christ was born in a manger and is born again in our hearts and in our lives this holy night. Bless us. Be with this preacher. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to do something tonight I usually don't do. If you are here today visiting tonight, many are, please know I don't do this every Sunday. So that might give you occasion to come back knowing I don't do this every Sunday. But tonight, I would like for us to start our sermon with a song. With a song. The song was made famous by Bing Crosby in the 1940s, written and recorded, I understand, for soldiers who were far from home and longed to be home for Christmas but could not because of their call to arms and duty. The song evolved through the years, and now it helps anyone who cannot be home at Christmas time. And for those of us who might even wonder, where exactly is home? Do you know the song? Will you sing it with me?
Yes.
Choir for sure.
Yes.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light beams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams.
Yeah.
You have some aspiring choir members out there, Terry. Isn't that what we want, to be home for Christmas? I think we all do. I remember a Christmas Eve 25 years ago, Susie and I were living in Little Rock. I was serving as the associate pastor at the downtown First United Methodist Church. We'd had a full day of worship services, and the last one of the evening was at 10:30 that night. I came home, both tired and wired all at the same time. I climbed into bed next to Susie, who in 5 short months would give birth to our firstborn daughter, Annie Grace. I couldn't have been in the bed more than a couple of minutes when I heard the familiar sound of ice hitting the window. It was the second ice storm of December of that year, 2000. So I woke Susie up and I said, "Susie, how important is it for you to see your mother on Christmas?" She said, "Very important." I said, "Get out of bed." And in 30 minutes, we were out the door, and we slid from Little Rock to Lone Oak, and then everything was fine. My parents were in Conway at that time, also living in Jackson, Tennessee. And I called them, and they said, "Where are you?" And I said, "I'm in Jackson, Tennessee." We had stopped to get something to eat. "I'll be home for Christmas." Barbara Brown Taylor, the great teacher and preacher and book writer, said this about Christmas Eve. She says, "It acts like a time machine, sending you back to every other Christmas Eve you've ever spent in this world." I like that. I like that idea. So may I invite you to a Christmas Eve that I grew up with? This is what it kind of looked like. My growing up years were spent in Jackson, Tennessee. Some of you know that town, right? And my Aunt Julia Lee would come over from Conway. Mom and my aunt spent a lot of the day of Christmas Eve getting ready for Christmas Eve night. That's when we had our family meal. My dad was the choir director at my home church, and he was at the church on Christmas Eve night. We had back then what I just described as come-and-go communion. People would come, receive communion, and they'd go, and Dad played a little music in the meantime. And when he got home, dinner was ready, and dinner was on the table, and we were in the not very often used dining room. But you could see from the dining room, the living room. Not even a door separated it, just a kind of an awning, kind of some molding. And that's where the Christmas tree was. And under the Christmas tree were presents. And some of them had my name on them. My family had a tradition of opening up one gift on Christmas Eve. I could hardly wait for the meal to be over to move from one room to the other room. On Christmas Eve, I went to bed early. My reasoning was, the earlier I went to bed, the sooner Christmas morning arrived. Did any of you try that? It does not work. I tossed and I turned, and my dad had been clear, "Do not wake me before 5 a.m. So around 3, I climbed in bed with my Aunt Julia Lee. My sister joined me, my brother too, and at 4:59, we knocked on their door. Mama made coffee. Dad stoked the fire, and he went to the doors, the glass doors, where he could look into the living room where the Christmas tree was. And he said it every year. If he were still alive, he'd say it tomorrow. "I believe Santa Claus has been here." And he had. He had. "I'll be home for Christmas." I hope that you'll do tonight what I've just done. Think about a Christmas Eve of your past that you might like to go back to. "I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams." Ironically, no one in the Christmas story was home for Christmas. Did you notice that? Mary and Joseph aren't home. They are walking the 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem because the emperor of the time said, "Go to your hometown where you were born and register for taxation purposes." So Mary and Joseph weren't home. When they arrived, there was no place for them to even lay their head. And so the Savior of the world spent his first night in hay, in a barn, in a manger, with animals all around. Luke writes this line: "In that region, there were shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night." You know what that means? The shepherds weren't home. They were working. I like to call them the third shift shepherds. They were working. The angels weren't home. They came down to sing. And Terry, it was the first Christmas cantata. They sang "Glory to the Newborn King." Matthew tells us about wise men. They weren't home. They saw a star in the sky, and and followed it all the way to where they thought the king of the world had just been born. Mary and Joseph and angels and shepherds and wise men, no one's home. Not even God. God's not home. God had decided that the best way to reach his people was to come down and live with us. Not even God was at home. God decided instead to make his home in our hearts. So if we could get in that time machine that Barbara Brown Taylor talks about, let's go all the way back to the very first Christmas Eve. And when you see a wise man, ask him to move to the side. Ask a shepherd to move to the side and go up to the cradle and kneel and worship Jesus. Tonight, we are all home. It's Christmas, and all is well. Let's pray.